Welcome back, everyone, back to the reconvening of the technical committee. I know there's several councillors out of the room. No, sorry, there's only one, Councillor Woodhead, and we've got an apology from Councillor Bell, so I'll move that second.
Brown.
Oh, God, why do I do that?
I don't know.
You're looking at him.
Sorry, Councillor Bell. And the next time I do that, I will shout you. Not shout at you, but I'll shout you.
I'll take you up on that.
Apology from Councillor Brown. Moved, seconded by Councillor Lawton. Oh, that's the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. We were well through four-fifths of the director's report. We're now on item five, the leaf flood protection scheme. Essentially, it's just an update of the union to leaf footbridge stage, and also an update where the tenders for the Dundas Street Bridge closing on the 10th of September. So, any questions there? And there's also the comment in the last paragraph about the amenity improvements consultation. Closed on the 24th of August. That's associated with the 4th Street to Harbour section. Any questions, queries? Everyone comfortable? Someone like to move that the report be received and noted? Moved by Councillor Robertson, seconded by Councillor Lawton. Any discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against, carried. We'll move on to item 11, State of the Environment, Surface Water Quality in Otago. Welcome to Rachel. Quite a comprehensive report over a 11-year period. There's a lot of info, obviously, here. Trends, some good, some not so good. And I think also it's worth noting that the report done by, or the independent review done by NIWA, I believe, identified some areas where we need to change the, or add to the regime to make it more reliable, more robust, etc. I think that we just need to be mindful of that. And also mindful that, as I said in those first couple of comments, there's a lot of detail here, and I just sort of heard a little bit of a conversation going on over lunch, and the opportunity perhaps to sit down with staff, Rachel and others, and workshop through this particular report, maybe wise at a later date. And Dr. Palmer just alluded to the additional report that's going to come through in October, sort of another piece of the puzzle as well. So I'm just suggesting park that thought for a moment, but workshopping this topic at a later date may be worthwhile doing. But Rachel, some comments you'd like to make with regards to the report?
It is a really comprehensive report, and it covers 11 years. For the trends, and it covers the 5-year for the state, so that we're looking at our Schedule 15 limits and whether we meet them or not. I think a lot of the comments that NIWA made in their report are particularly pertinent to this, because a lot of the problems we had analysing the data relates to comments that they made in the report, and steps have been made to change that. Yeah, but overall, it's what it is. We're reporting on data that we collect on a monthly basis. Trend analysis is brought, but we spoke very closely with a statistician about how to do that. So we're very confident in the numbers and the data presented in the report.
And when you mentioned monthly reports prior to 2013, it was bi-monthly.
It was bi-monthly.
Yeah, so we're, yeah. And I suppose the other thing that's worth noting as well, through the annual plan LTP process, this area of activity, which is a significant area of activity for the council, budgets have been increased. monitoring sites, not sure the implementation has occurred yet, but increasing from 60 to 75. And then there's the Lake Boys that are going to be introduced as well over the next 12 months or 8 months or so. So there are things that have come into play or about to come into play that will be will make a difference in the future in terms of the data that we end up with from future reports. Is that fair enough?
That is fair enough. The flights have increased to 90, and that was implemented this month in the September sampling round. So we're now on a 90 flights a month growth basis. And the late monitoring buoys are on track, and the first one to be installed by December this year in Lake Hayes. So we have made great inroads. Into implementing the NIWA recommendations. We're still tackling the Periphyton implementation to make sure that we meet MPS FM requirements. But that's in hand, it's just not implemented quite yet to the extent it should be. So I think when the time comes for the next report, we'll be in a much better place as a council to have better information. So that we can tell a story about the results and why we're getting some poor results or why we're getting good results. So we've got background information to support the actual data that we're getting.
Very good.
Yeah.
Our questions, Councillor Robertson and Councillor Scott.
Thank you, and thank you for the report. I know how much work has gone into this. It is a very, very comprehensive report. I actually thought it was very useful and detailed as well, good analysis there. And I felt in a way it was a shame that we, in summary and again just now as well, focused on all the shortcomings of the report. Yeah, the science isn't perfect and we're improving on that, but actually the report tells us a lot as well. As you said, there's some definitive answers to things in here as well. And yeah, it would have been really good in the summary and conclusions to have focused on that. What do we know from this 11 years of data? What in essence is it showing? Mm. And yeah, we've got some good stories in there, that's true. We've also, wearing a policy hat, thinking about it as well, we've got some things that are totally unacceptable as well. We must maintain and enhance, and we have we've got a policy paper later on talking about the national type setting with Land and Water Forum reporting back in the directive that they were given through ministers as well of we must halt degradation of waterways and how that's going to look. So, we do need to have more of a discussion. Hear what you're saying, Councillor Noon. We need to be thinking really seriously, this council, about how we communicate these results and our programs. And I hear also what we're saying about bringing back a report in October, wasn't it? Looking at that. That's good. But I think today as well we need to think about how we package this up into a really user-friendly format, and whether that's even face-to-face. But these messages need to go out immediately to communities to say, look, we have got this data and this is what it's showing, and even a media campaign around this report. Good stories, bad stories, but yeah, in terms of what we need to improve on, North Otago, we've got 6 out of 8 of the sites with significant increases in at least one of the contaminants. Wairika Creek, Trotters Stream and Wainakaroa or E. coli not meeting the NOF. And our council also sets swimmability targets, remember, higher than most. We want 100%. We're certainly not anywhere near that at the moment. Dunedin and Southern Coast, 6 out of 7 fail the NOF for swimmability. Waikawaiti is okay. 5 out of 7 have significant increases in at least one contaminant. Tyree fails the NOF for swammability at Waipiata to Silverstream and Aferro. Two of them quite expected with being urban streams perhaps, but that's a story as well with what needs to occur from here with urban waterways. Policy around that. Significant increases in 10 out of 15 sites on the Tyree and at least one contaminant. Upper Clutha, pretty good. Mill Creek though, fails the NOF for swammability, and 7 out of 7 sites have an increasing contaminants. Yep. For at least one. Mid Clutha, 2 out of 7 failing the NOF, 4 out of 7 increased trend. Lower Clutha, 10 out of 11 failing the NOF for swammability, 7 out of 7 increasing trend and at least one contaminant. So, yep, remember SOE reports in the past and some of them have had increasing trends as well. Basically what I wanted to say, I suppose, was we've had this trend. We can't continue to have that going on over the next 10 years as well. Imagine if we had 20 years of increasing trend. It's just, we're going to have to do some things quite different as a council going forward. So yeah, I really encourage us to focus on what the messages actually are from the State of Environment report, rather than that the data wasn't quite perfect, and to really clearly package that up to communities, because we're going to have to do some things that aren't very popular probably in the near future, and it's really important that people understand the context of that and that it is serious. Yeah. So a really good report, and actually, Rachel, you probably downplayed it in what it was telling us, because it's going to be really useful to us. Yep.
Thank you, Councillor Robertson, for that summary. And I'd pick up on a couple of points. One was reminding us about this is not just about rural water quality.
Absolutely.
It's urban water quality as well. Mm. And your point about the messaging, I just wondered whether Sian wants to make any comment at this point. No doubt this is on your radar, but is there any comment you want to add, Sian, at this point?
Through the chair, thank you, Councillor, for bringing up the communication side of it, because I can't agree more. And we've got to certainly look at how we package up this science communication, because it does tell a compelling story, and my team are working on something with the team. Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Lawton, then Councillor Laws. Councillor Scott, then Councillor Laws.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm sorry.
The previous report, I kept my mouth shut on because water quality got a green light. And I had a bit of a disagreement with Councillor Wood here at the side, because he reminded me, yes, we went out there, we did our state of the environment reporting. But look, I agree, we've not only got a water quality issue, we've got a communication issue, because it's not actually that easy to disseminate this information from this report. You know, I apologise, but just, I mean, if it's hard enough for us, councillors have been sitting around the table for a while, what's Joe Average in the community? How are they going to find this? So, for example, if you look at table one, you know, in terms of there were 16 sites, there were 69 sites in total. If you look at RWG1, approximately 55% of these sites were either fair or poor. In fact, if you look at the table as a whole, in terms of table one, and you actually work out and you balance it with the ends, and I actually sat with a calculator, and what it basically says is that 40% of our sites at this particular time are either fair or poor. And that's not good. You know, and we can talk about how we're increasing the number of state of the environment sites from 69 to 90, But I think the current 69 will still be within that 90, yeah? So all this ultimately, you know, say 40% are either fair or poor. Even in October, when we're all holding our breath and we get 90 sites, even if they were all perfect, that score of 40% is only going to reduce down by about, you know, a percent. Maybe it'll go down to 30%. We've got a problem. And we need... And we need to do something about it, and we're endeavouring to do something about it. But, we're only part of the jigsaw. The community needs to do its bit. Look, and then like on the next paragraph, a regional trend summary is showing, which shows that 30% of sites, E. coli has a probable or significant increase in trend. And Councillor Robinson's, you know, given some specific examples. Even on our back door, while many of us, you know, we talk about the rural situation, we've got the Kaikoura stream, which has a score below the 80 in terms of that particular requirement. We've got a problem, and we need to stop kidding ourselves that we haven't. You know, green lights and financial plans, even if we're doing it. You know, what's the consequence? We've been sitting getting these reports year after year, Dr. Palmer, and what are we doing about it? You know, like we've started this reference group, and I'm pleased we're making some progress in there and so forth, but hey, this is the fundamentals of why this organisation is here, and for the last 10 years, we're not doing too well. Do you want to reply to that, Dr. Palmer, the expression on your face? As if I'm saying something wrong.
Just highlighting that the point you're making is going to be addressed in the further report around what the council has been doing and is doing to connect.
Yeah, but it needs to disseminate into the water as well. You know, like, I think we certainly need to lift the bar in terms of the next 10 years compared to the last. We've got, you know, a documentation, we've got a water plan, and we just need to do all the things that we've been talking about, and in the first instance, we need to communicate quite clearly about our success or otherwise. And in my view, 40% of our waterways in Otago, either poor or fair, is not good.
Councillor Scott, Councillor Laws.
Yeah, I mean, it's a collective failure, I think, of us all. I mean, at the end of the day, if we had been doing the right things and we'd been looking after the environment like we should, and I mean that collectively as communities, the Otago Regional Councils, District Councils, as communities themselves, then we wouldn't be where we are. So I think it's a fantastic report. Actually, I'm sort of heartened by it that we are being honest enough to say we've got a problem. And also, I hope, oh, I think we all are saying we're honest enough to say, and we're going to have to do something about it. I'm also interested that the report tells us what we know, but it also, gee, a lot of what we don't know is still out there. And if you look at the summary of the executive summary, I think on page 2, or Roman numerals 2 at the bottom, one of the things it says is there's a lack of detailed information held by the Otago Regional Council on local or catchment scale, and mentions a whole series of areas that we need to address now. And that's where I want to go to. First of all, I was shocked when I read this report. Until I read it, I wasn't aware that we had the problems that we had, and gee, that's a deficiency of mine, I guess, for not reading the monthly monitoring reports. I love the fact that this crystallised in one area. But I'd like to refer this paper, Mr. Chairman, to the Policy Committee, for their proper consideration and review and their recommendations as to what to do next. There's no point in receiving this unless we're going to take actions consequent upon it. And I think the Policy Committee is obviously the right person to do it. Then we can get more reviews, more recommendations, and a scope for action. In the meantime, I think it's fair to communicate. The other thing that really comes out of this to me, gee, rural Otago's been taking a bit of a hammering lately. We love, or, you know, urban interests love to line up rural folk and go, you're a bunch of polluters. And when you read this report, you go, gee, urban New Zealand, you're in actual fact worse polluters than rural New Zealand at the moment, reading this report. So I'm glad that this won't be used as a division. There will be no wedges driven in between Otago communities on this one, that Otago, rural and urban, are both not good enough, and we need to do something, and I'm pleased that this report endorses it. But I have a motion. I've discussed it with Gretchen as the Chairman of Policy, and is that okay with you, Gretchen?
I'm happy to second that. I think a paper is coming forward anyway, essentially, around this. So whether it comes to policy or not,
I see the need, Mr. Chairman, to be able to positively respond to this. Okay, here's the information. Okay, what are we going to do about it?
Yep.
And if we send it to policy, we're going to develop an action plan to address each of these in turn.
You just write down that second, because we've already got the one motion with regards to it, the report being noted. Could you just write down...
Oh, I've just got down here that we refer this paper to the policy committee.
Okay, simple as that.
For proper review and policy recommendations related to this report. Is that all right with you, Michael?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to support you. Yeah, totally.
Councillor Deacon.
Yeah, I wanted to support both Councillor Robertson and Councillor Laws. I think they both made very valuable contributions on the future of this report. But if my own bet, I wanted to take two extremes, and Rachel, this will probably be very easy for you to answer. But as I read through this, I couldn't help but notice that the Waikouiti River was exceptionally good quality, particularly compared with the others in North and East Otago. And my question is, why is that? What are the factors in that catchment that we might learn from that caused it to have generally high water quality? And the second one I noticed at the other end of the scale was Lake Johnson, which seems to be a crashing failure on every measure except E. coli. And I wondered why. I mean, I know Lake Johnson. I know it sits in a wee hollow, and it's got runoff from those hills from years of top dressing and all sorts of stuff, and grazing, and particularly sheep. But I wondered what the reason, because I couldn't see any explanation anywhere, and I didn't expect reasonably to find detailed explanations either. But I wondered if you, Rachel, could shed some light on the Waikouiti and its high quality, Lake Johnson and its miserable quality.
Lake Johnson first. It's a hasn't really got an inflow or an outflow. It's a lake in a depression, so it's got no in the depression is quite a good choice of words actually, and it just hasn't got room.
Can't flush.
To get better. It can't flush itself easily.
Yeah.
So, of course, the catchment will dilute, you know, with rainfall, catchment will dilute it, but it's not a regular flushing opportunity for that lake. And as to the Waikouiti, if we really want to drill down into why that's a better quality, I think you have to look at the land use around the catchment and what's happening there. And we as a council, we don't particularly do that. So, in the Waikouiti, I think, is it's more extensive farming, and there's not any built up urban areas in the Waikouiti catchment upstream of Waikouiti itself, and that's very different compared to the other northern coastal catchments. Probably a simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Woodhead.
Couple of things. Firstly, the graph on the report and the agenda, receiving water group one, there wasn't any big surprises in this report for me. It confirmed, I think, what we sort of knew. Receiving water group one is the intensively farmed areas of Otago, southwest Otago, essentially. It's bigger than that, but and the urban. My question, though, Mr. Chairman, is the page that Councillor Laws was referring to earlier in the detailed report in your attachments to the agenda has a list of things bullet-pointed of further information that we require. Mm. And one of them is physiographic environments in Otago, and that refers to a project in the next 3 years. Now, that's a word I've been hearing the Southland comrades talk about for a while. Can somebody just give me some context around physiographics and what that means? And
is it the same physiographics?
Rachel?
I could try. I'm not going to do a great job with it, though, Stephen. It's a physiographics is a... It links the water chemistry to the source of the water itself, and then also looks at where the water's ended up and the soil profile and characteristics of where it's come from. So physiographics is about saying you're picking up a bottle of water and you can tell from that water where it's come from and what's happened to it.
So if it's naturally high, for example, a spring coming out of the ground naturally high in phosphate, you're going to struggle to fix that in the river situation.
Yeah,
that's the physiographic link.
Possibly. I'm not up on physiographics. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Any other queries, questions, Councillor Hope?
Thank you. I've just got two queries. First of all, on number two, Roman numerals down the bottom, and you've got the lack of detailed information held by the Regional Council. It's just something I'd like to go back to, and it's really from Mrs. Gardner and Dr. Palmer. There was that chance quite some time ago to be part of that Landcare Trust program, and it was to do with intensive farming for stock for sheep, which we declined at the time. Is that not something perhaps we would revisit? Because it was a whole program to do with farming, intensive farming, and the second point there is changes in farming time or stocking rate, and that's what they were doing. And I'm just wondering, would you look at revisiting that again, if that was to give us more detailed information?
We would, but in the context of this work, what is being said here is that our focus is really around measuring state and the what, and what we aren't good at is understanding the drivers and the why. And so we're turning our mind to in terms of what further information do we need to capture across Otago on the things that are causing these trends and this state, and importantly, how does this look into the future? I mean, this is looking backwards. We need to be looking more forwards. That particular project you're referring to wouldn't exactly deal with this issue, but if it did, we would certainly have an open mind.
And the second point I just want to ask was, and it's just a correlation and it may not at all have any relevance, but the work that's been done on the shag at the moment, and that's a catchment area, is that something that work and those and the information from farmers and what's been captured there, is that something that could be part of what we describe as this lack of detailed information? Is that something that can be dropped into what we're wanting to know here?
That's a very particular project, the shag and the Kakanui work that's going on, and that's just to look at how the groundwater and surface water interacts, and particularly in nitrogen leaching off the land. And of course, all that information is really important, but it is an incredible amount of work. I think possibly... And I know other regional councils just go for the more general modelling exercises rather than such detailed information. On one, that is answering a particular question, the shag and the Kakanui, and that's to do with the populating the water plan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Councillor Woodhead.
I just wanted to clarify, apologies, that we've got one report coming. This report refers to a report. There's been other discussions about reports and policy. Can we just, for clarity, ensure that we know where we're heading on that?
Dr. Palmer.
Yes, through Mr. Chairman. The further report that I was previously referring to was more around 6A, if you like, implementation, that part of it. But what I'm hearing this committee asking for is something broader to go to the policy committee, or at least a policy discussion in addition to that.
And I assume that paper would cover off all the things that have been triggered in the last sort of 12 months. The actual, it won't only just be focused on potentially introducing potential policy or enhancing policy or that sort of, it's going to cover quite a wide spectrum of what's going on.
Well, Mr. McLean is preparing that, so maybe he's in a better position to talk about the exact scope of that and what it does and does not include.
No, I can't at the moment. I'm sorry, I'm not 100% over the report that you're referring to, but we are bringing back a whole package of work that's to do with water quality implementation, and this will form part of it. But I haven't asked Ms. Ozan exactly the content of that report.
Content, it was something that I was talking to Sean about, and the paragraph is, more detail on the Otago Rural Water Implementation Plan will be brought to Council later in the year, with the aim of clarifying rules in the water plan, as well as identifying the focus for compliance and education programs.
Isn't it about
so I think we're
learnings and then picking up on what are we going to do to help improve water quality. Sorry, Councillor Robinson.
I see those as one report.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
To be honest. Yeah.
So, policy committee.
Yeah.
Excellent. Everyone agrees?
Whichever committee, but one report, please.
Yep. Cool. Any other queries or questions? No. Thank you very much, Rachel. So we've got two motions. One is essentially receiving the report, and the other one, which reads along the lines... Sorry, it's the report be noted, it's the first one.
And the other one is that this paper be referred to the policy committee for the consideration and review and policy recommendations related to this report, which has been moved by Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Robertson.
Everyone clear? I'll put both of those motions. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Now, we just need to pop back to item 8. Sorry, item 9, big pardon. And the question that Councillor Laws raised about matters that were, or actions from previous committee round.
Yeah.
And how are we going to deal with this?
Because if you can't, then you can refer it. Are you thinking?
No, we've got a copy of it.
I've just pulled together the information, but the update. Dr. Palmer.
It hasn't been carried out. This is the actions report. In here.
Okay. That's what we're saying. From the last I heard them talking to me. Okay.
Even retrained, that was a work in progress.
Staff developed information by council on the presentation of late pay, including a comprehensive description and tests of benefits, protecting the president's cost limitation and timeline for funding, and that's also in process.
Reporting back on. Yes, Mr. Chairman, we're yet to receive formal advice from Central Otago District Council. I wrote to them on Monday asking what their intentions are with respect to that.
Okay. So any queries on those actions? I'm not sure whether everyone heard that conversation, but
I wonder if you could distribute those.
Yep.
Thank you. So can we as a committee just note that those actions are being progressed?
Or not?
Well, we'll just note those actions.
Okay.
Are you happy to move that way, Councillor Laws?
Sure.
I'll second. Any discussion? If not, I'll put the motion with those in favour. Please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you very much. As far as I know, that concludes the meeting. Yes.
You in charge, Brian? Your meeting, mate. Oh, no. Oh, my.
Communication.
Oh, Tom.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You'll have to wait another afternoon.